Death is the great interruption, tearing loved ones away from us, or us from them. Death is the great schism, ripping apart the material and immaterial parts of our being and sundering a whole person who was never meant to be disembodied, even for a moment. Death is the great insult, because it reminds us, as Shakespeare said, that we are worm food. We are literally split in two. Man has an awareness of his own splendid uniqueness in that he sticks out of nature with a towering majesty, and yet he goes back into the ground a few feet in order to blindly and dumbly rot and disappear forever. Death is hideous and frightening and cruel and unusual. It is not the way life is supposed to be, and our grief in the face of death acknowledges that. Death is our great enemy, more than anything. It makes a claim on each and every one of us, pursuing us relentlessly through all our days. Modern people write and talk endlessly about love, especially romantic love, which eludes many. But no one can avoid death. It has been said that all the wars and plagues have never raised the death toll. It has always been one for each and every person. Yet we seem far less prepared for it than our ancestors. Why is that? The blessing of modern medicine. One reason is, paradoxically, that the great blessing of modern medicine has hidden death from us. Annie Dillard, in her novel The Living, devotes an entire page to the astonishing variety of ways death snatched the living from the midst of their homes and families without a moment's notice in the 19th century. She wrote, "Women took fever and died from having babies, and babies died from puniness or the harshness of the air. Men died from rivers and horses, bulls, steam saws, mill gears, quarried rock, or falling trees or rolling logs. Children lost their lives as hard things smashed them, like trees, and the ground when horses threw them, or they fell. They drowned in water. They sickened, and earaches wormed into their brains, or fever from measles burned them up, or pneumonia eased them out overnight." Death was something that people used to see up close. To take just one example, the prominent British minister and theologian John Owen, 1616 to 1683, outlived every one of his 11 children, as well as his first wife. Since people died where they lived, at home, Owen literally saw nearly every person he loved die before his eyes. The average family in the United States in colonial times lost one out of every three children before adulthood, and since the life expectancy of all people at that time was about 40 years, great numbers lost their parents when they were still children. Nearly everyone grew up seeing corpses and watching relatives die, young and old. Medicine and science have relieved us of many causes of early death, and today, the vast majority of people decline and die in hospitals and hospices, away from the eyes of others. It is normal now to live to adulthood and not watch anyone die, or even see a corpse, except in the brief glance of an open coffin at a funeral. Atul Gawande and others have pointed out that this hiddenness of dying in modern society means that we of all cultures live in denial of the inexorability of our impending death. Psalm 90, verse 12, called readers to number our days that we may gain a heart for wisdom. There has always been a danger that humans would live in denial of their own death. Of course we know, intellectually and rationally, that we are going to die, but deep down we repress it. We act as if we are going to live forever. And, according to the psalmist, that's not wise. It is the one absolute inevitability, yet modern people don't plan for it and don't live as if it is going to happen. We avoid doctors out of fear, denying the mortality of our bodies and assuming they will just go on forever. And yet, in the face of imminent death, we then demand unrealistic and extreme medical procedures. We even find the discussion of death in bad taste, or worse. Anthropologist Jeffrey Gorer, in his essay, The Pornography of Death, argued that in contemporary culture, death has replaced sex as the new unmentionable.